Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download the app and use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy, what are we, Tuesday now? They're Tuesday. All blending together. Yeah. 16 days 16 until opening days. Day. We're almost there.
Aramis Ramirez days?
Yeah, right.
Aramis Ramirez days.
Yesterday we should have said Chris Bryant days, but
that's right.
Whatever.
We should start like counting down like by number, by jersey
15.
Number. We
probably should have been 15 doing that. For you.
The fact that I can't remember a 15 off the top of my head.
I can't think of a 15.
14's easy.
Kevin Millar, 15 maybe?
I don't know. 14's easy.
Anyways,
should you apologize for the late start before we get yelled
the
at?
The late start is my fault.
Okay.
I spilled the liquid death that Ryan had on the table by moving the microphone over. It knocked it over, yeah. So then we had to clean up some wires. It's okay. If the short's out, you'll know what happened.
I'm screwed. Imagine not knowing what liquid death is and spilling it. You're like, oh, I just spilled liquid death, and then that sounds really bad.
And then getting electrocuted by it. You know, that would be... By the way,
look at us.
Our friends at Liquid Death hooked us up. You can see what this is. Armless Palmer.
Ooh.
An iced teed version of Liquid
Ooh.
Death.
Ooh.
Not bad. Mm. Jacob Z says his first live stream.
Refreshing. Jacob, welcome. Or where you been? We've missed you. We've got a good chat going. Oh, Barb's here. And Barb, yes, we are live. Before you need to ask. Luke, Cody, and Ryan. Barb was in the shower. Again, a little too much information, Barb. But we love you anyways. It's just water. You're right.
Yeah. What a way to start the show. I mean,
you're wondering, bravo. What the heck are these guys going to talk about? Because really, the free agency stuff's over. We got stuff to talk about. First of all, it's Felix PA Day.
Felix PA Day?
Yep.
What was your favorite part of Felix PA's Cubs tenure?
I remember being in Atlanta for an opening. They had back-to-back opening days, I think, in Atlanta back in the day. And I think he was on that team. Like, it was sort of like, oh, this is it. This is his shot. The Cubs' top prospect. Mm-hmm. And that's about as much as I remember of his career.
My favorite part was obviously the friends we made along the way and the end. That was my favorite part of the Felix PA tenure.
I could be wrong. I think he was starting for the Cubs in the outfield the day Jason Hayward made his major league debut for the Braves.
In which he hit that homer off Zambrano.
Yeah, and I've got a photo on my phone that I took of Bobby Cox shaking Lou Piniella's hand, which turned out to be the last opening day for both of them. Anyways, I digress. We'll talk more about Felix PA later and Pi Day as well. We've got World Baseball Classic stuff to talk about. And our friend Ian Happ, friend of the show, want to say he has been on.
Yes.
Is time running out for an extension? Interesting article in The Athletic kind of comparing his deal, potential deal, to guys that have been going through this more recently, including one former Cub. We'll talk about that as well. John is in the chat saying, hey, Luke, I made a comment about Kevin's shoes on the last podcast before yours. He took it bad. Holt, put that back up, sir. He took it bad, so after your show, give him a hug. John Gilbecki here says, hey, Luke, I made a comment about Kevin's shoes on the last podcast before yours. He took it bad. After your show, give him a hug. Well, I mean, those are filthy shoes.
Those are a classic. I mean, they're not New Balance, but, I mean, look like, you know.
I don't think there's anything wrong. I think you just throw them in a bucket of little soapy water, and those will refresh.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of yellow, but.
Or just buy new shoes.
Oh, do a hug on camera?
Cody, hug him.
Yeah.
He just see what Kevin's worried about is that then I'll lock into more of an embrace and not let go because you know I'm a real hugger.
Okay.
You know, a heavy embrace. Then he can't get his work done.
Luke, I don't think we've ever hugged before.
Embraced?
Yeah.
What was the scenario that we were supposed to hug?
That like breaks my heart. Why haven't you guys hugged? That's so sad. I haven't hugged either of you.
Have you hugged anybody here?
I've hugged Ryan. I've hugged Ryan. I've hugged you. Yeah, I think I've hugged people.
Big Dave is the Christopher Morel of this building.
He really is.
But like you guys are like,
this is so off the rails.
Cody and Luke.
Maybe I don't know why me and Luke haven't hugged.
We'll wait for Hugging Wednesday. Yeah, we'll wait. Here.
Or on opening day, you guys.
Opening day hugs. Yeah,
I hugged Corey on Saturday.
You did.
Whenever I left the bar.
Yeah, and that was after a few cocktails.
Say influence.
Yeah. Few is very putting it very nicely. Hey,
drunk thoughts or sober thoughts?
I was already experiencing the hangover at 10 p.m. on St. Patrick's Day. Well, I guess Saturday, whatever. Anyway. Sorry, we really are off the rails. I apologize.
We're off the rails.
But that's what this.
Anyways, Armless Palmer.
That's a little bit of what this show is all about. That's what we've been doing the last year because the Cubs haven't been good. So we're talking about ice cream. We're talking about vibes. We're talking about Steve. We're talking about
Maverick.
Right. We're talking about Ryan wearing a lot of Hawaiians.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been here the last year, you know how this show goes.
You guys watched the show Entourage, right?
Yeah.
Back in the day? Hug it out. Ari would hug it out. With, what was the main guy's name? Oh, boy, that's terrible. Man. I really liked Entourage back in the day. Who was Vince?
Yeah, Vince. I don't know his actor name.
Hug it out. Vinny Chase. Hug it out. Yeah. Ari Gold, I know, was the character. Anyways.
What were we talking about?
Baseball. Yeah, we got the Cubs and CHGO Cubs. Michael Collada's here. He says Ricketts is cheap. CHGO fans must come to terms with that. Welcome to Tuesday and the CHGO Cubs podcast.
Death, taxes, and Michael Collada calling Ricketts cheap.
By the way, before we get to the Cubs stuff, and we are going to get to the Cubs stuff on this podcast because that's what we do, don't forget to sign up to be a diehard because right now it's the only place you can get the brick by brick hoodie, which is exclusive to diehards right now. Revealed and launched yesterday at allchgo.com. You go to the locker, get your dope merch there. That's everybody in the world goes to get their dope merch at the CHGO locker. Yep. And yesterday, Greg Braggs was surprised with the brick by brick t-shirt and hoodie. But only the diehards can get that sick hoodie.
And
that is sick drip.
And 20% off all merch just in general, man.
Plus, you get the discount on it.
Yeah.
On top of everything. So,
our guy, Greg Braggs, noted Cubs fan, by the way. He is on a high like no other right now. I mean, Purdue winning the Big Ten tournament, number one seed.
He really is in
the NCAA tournament. Yeah, gets his own shirt here at CHGO because he's a bricklayer.
Matt Painter, co-Big Ten.
Oh, yeah.
Coach of the year, according to the AP.
And Matt Painter is a Cubs fan. I mean, Greg Braggs.
Should we have a brick by brick Cubs one, but like brick with little ivy hanging off of it?
Why not?
Thought, huh? Somebody called DNVR, brick by brick, little ivy coming off of it. We'll steal it from Braggs. We'll make it ours.
Or it should just say beautiful historic.
Building the next great Cubs team, brick by brick, little ivy hanging down.
I kind of like.
And we could put the names on the bricks, like people bought the bricks. You could put Dansby Swanson on a brick, Nico Horner on a brick, brick by brick. Mm. Anyways,
I kind of like my idea better.
This podcast is completely off the rails at this point.
We're 10 minutes in.
The Bears guys still want to talk Bears. They say Austin Eckler, though. Holy smokes, that's the dream. Too much. Would cost too much.
Well, see here, Mike Dubs just got here. That's what we were waiting. We were waiting for him to get
Mike
here.
Mike Dubs, there it is.
Really day, was it day 46?
Day 46 of the countdown to 50 with Mike Dubs.
Or 46 more days, I mean.
46 more days. Mike Dubs always gets a shout-out on this podcast because
or 45.
Of
lost count.
The $50 Super Chat. Yep. We did have a Super Chat in there already.
Fernando. The king.
I mean, Fernando is probably the Super Chat king. He's probably added up to at least $50 for sure.
Easily.
He says, let's start a shoe fund. Vibes.
Got the
hashtag vibe with us.
We got the Carolina.
I got
blues
the Allbirds
today.
On. We got double Nikes over here.
Yeah. Collada says, I'm a diehard. I have my CHGO Cub shirt on. I order everyone in the chat to become a diehard.
Nice.
That's Collada. The greatest comment he's ever left.
You see what I'm saying? Yesterday, I said that I thought Collada was a little
cranky?
Sad or cranky because of the time change. But there it is.
He's a lot nicer today.
That's the new Collada. That's the man of integrity that we know.
That's
right
integrity.
That's the godfather of CHGO Cubs right there.
Yes.
He's got a shirt. Does he have this one? Which one do you have?
Hey, Chicago.
You have the Hey, Chicago, what do you say? Or do you have
maybe the brawler?
The little brawler one?
We got more coming.
Both good. I believe we may have some dope merch coming.
We do.
Pretty, pretty, pretty soon.
It's called a tease.
All right. World Baseball Classic. So Team USA loses a game.
Oh, we're
going to
talk about the Cubs now. Okay.
Yeah, we are going to talk baseball.
Okay.
Specifically World Baseball Classic first, though. And then they go out and slaughter Rural Canada. You know why? Owen Casey wasn't playing for Canada. What was the deal with that? I saw he wasn't in the lineup, and I was like, click.
Is there like a...
Schwarber didn't play either, did he?
No.
He may not. But I think there may be like a limit on how many games they can play in. I know there's definitely pitching limits, but I guess I don't know for sure if there's limits on how many
I don't know
games
the rules for that.
Position players can play in a row. Maybe that's why, but hey, Jared Young, Cubs minor leaguer, hit a home run yesterday.
I did see that. Now, that's good news.
He was up last year, had a quick little stint in Chicago. I don't remember exactly how many games, but later on in the season. So, he hit a home run. This is another opportunity. We talked about it with like Assad yesterday, just how big of an opportunity this kind of thing is. Like,
yes.
It may not be as big as it is for Assad as it is for Jared Young. You know, Jared Young probably, no matter what he does in the World Baseball Classic, like is going to have a long road ahead of him to get back to the big league. Maybe not long road, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, tricky road maybe.
Yeah, like there are people ahead of him that he probably won't jump just based on World Baseball Classic. But if he's trying to make it back to the big leagues, like this is a good
competition.
Yeah, cannot hurt for him. Cannot hurt him. And you know, the better he does in the World Baseball Classic, maybe the higher up that list he rises.
So Colada's wearing the brawler. He says in the chat. And somebody in the chat is creeped out by me saying dope merch.
Where that you person been? Hasn't been here for the last
dope
year.
Dope merch then. And sick drip. I've been saying it for a long time.
Over 365 days.
He may have coined both phrases.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I coined them, but I certainly made them popular.
Just, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story,
that's,
right?
That's FAX, also, that is baby. My saying.
Facts.
Once I saw Casey wasn't in it, I just didn't have an interest. So my interest in the World Baseball Classic has been kind of not great. I'll be honest with you, I don't care if Team USA wins.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of weird to say. Like, if I was watching the Olympics, I'd probably care. I just don't care.
Yeah.
Max Scherzer actually pointed out that he's not playing for Team USA, but he said he would have played or would play if the World Baseball Classic were played in the middle of the Major League season. So, like, instead of an All-Star game, you had, 2 weeks of the World Baseball Classic? I think that's an absurd idea because, number one, you'd push the postseason back 2 more weeks, which, come on. Yeah. We don't need to push that into December yet, guys.
Hey, what if you just cut off games in the regular season?
Well, I've said that for a long time. They only need to play 100 games, but
that or they,
the stats people won't let it happen, and the money people won't let it happen.
That or they could go full NFL and, like, do the World Series at a neutral site where it's warm. But, like, that's no, like, yeah, that's no fun. I want to watch the
–
like,
that.
If the Cubs ever get back to the World Series again,
well, there's 7 games.
I want to see them win it. Like, that's, like, the next thing, right, is – to see the Cubs win the World Series at Wrigley Field, like clinch it at Wrigley Field, not in Cleveland like they did the last time, you know? So, like, I'm just saying, like, that would justify it in a way, though, if they were to do it like that. But, that, I mean, the season would literally be, like, almost a full year.
Too long. And his point was that pitchers would be ramped up so you wouldn't have to do innings watching with that. But you know what? Here's the problem. What do you do with the players that are just taking 2 weeks off?
Yeah.
What are those guys just throwing bullpen sessions, and they're going to have extra rest? Who would want their players to go
in the middle
pitcher
of the
wise? Why wouldn't you want your pitcher to take a rotation off?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And hitters, you would want them to go because what are they going to do? Just face live BP during the season? Like it's an absurd idea. It's never going to happen during the season.
No.
And I mean, because
I wouldn't want it to happen.
I'm trying to think like other like world type competitions. Pretty sure they like interrupt the seasons. Like, wouldn't the World Cup? It's not American. They might actually interrupt the MLS season. I'm not sure, but I know like some of those European leagues get interrupted during the World Cup. Like, if I'm not mistaken, they managed to do it. I don't know how. So I mean,
baseball's just funny with pitchers having different. To keep their arms like active and going, and like a bullpen session doesn't seem to do it.
Well, my thing is like the postseason's so long too that it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to do it after the postseason.
Right.
But like doing it right now is like when all the pitchers and you know hitters are getting back into things, and it is weird because you have these pitching limits on guys, and I know Mark DeRosa, that Mexico USA game, like that was a big thing. Is that Kendall Graveman, I think it was, went in for like one pitch, then couldn't go right. back out the next inning, and then same thing with Devin Williams, he had to put him in, he was in for like three pitches, and then he had to come out. Like so, the timing of it is weird because these guys aren't all the way ramped up. Like I'm sure a lot of them started earlier. And, you know, came to camp earlier just right. so they could get as ramped up as possible. But it doesn't help that they're not in full season mode yet.
Dustin Allen with the Super Chat, $4.99. Cubs World Series win in 2025 in Chicago. Speak things into existence. Hashtag vibe with us.
Manifesting, baby. Manifesting.
Those spear fingers are you doing right
Doug
now?
Says when That's he hears dope merch, he thinks something you pick up at dispensary, like merchandise. Anyways.
I know what you're thinking, Dubs.
Anyway, Scherzer got me thinking, you know, he's not in it. I look at the Mets and I saw the Jose Quintana is banged up. Somehow he's got a cracked rib. They don't know how it happened. He's the same guy that sliced his finger allegedly washing the dishes with the Cubs. So he's got a cracked rib. He's going to miss the first half of the season, it sounds like, for the Mets. A, they get what they deserve. They sign some good veteran pitchers and arguably some great veteran pitchers, obviously, but they're all old. And the first thing everybody said was, how are these guys going to hold up? So my question is, before they spend all this money and before they start washing it away, because now a guy like Quintana is going to miss half a season, are the Cubs one of those teams that might get a call from the Mets because they have a lot of depth at starting pitching? Could you fleece? I'm not going to say you're going to fleece them like PCA, but could you get a Wes Neske type deal like you did for Efros because you have all this pitching depth going into the season?
I mean, they ain't going to do it, but I wouldn't be mad about getting Beatty if it came down to it, but that ain't going to happen. Yeah. But it's interesting. I mean, I don't know what their pitching depth looks like off the top of my head. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. The risk for the Mets is that, okay, they let DeGrom walk, but they paid Verlander all that money. And Verlander's been great, and he's been healthy, but he's also older, and you just don't know. And Scherzer's the same way. So with them losing Quintana, I mean, it is only 3 months, so you're thinking he's back, you know, right around the All-Star break. You know, we'll see where they're at, but the pitching for them is, like, if they stay on the field, it's good, potentially great. I think that the Cubs are definitely a team that teams could look at if they did want to add to the depth.
Yeah.
Right, it might not even be adding a starter. It just might be adding depth behind whoever they're bumping up.
And it's kind of like what I said yesterday about how the Cubs potentially could be buying and selling at the deadline. At the deadline, the Cubs could sell a reliever or maybe one of their – maybe Smiley or Sampson if these other two guys – if Wes Neske and Assad turn out to be really good.
Right.
You could sell one of those two guys and get a bat in return. You know what I mean? And in a way that you're – in a way you're selling but also buying at the same time. So, yeah, I mean, potentially this – like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Mets are contacting the Cubs related to pitching or anything, but – I don't know what they're willing to give away right now, though.
I do wonder how people would feel about the Cubs already starting to trade away some of their big league guys. Like,
I do, too, because you built the depth because you know you're going to need it.
Yeah. Like,
the fact is that
they don't have the top-tier pitching. Like, they have a lot of, I'd say, you know, Stroman, Tyone, like, could be really good, really, really good twos. Steele's probably maybe in that same category. You know, Hendricks at his best is there, but I don't know if he'll ever reach that level anymore. But, you know, guys like Smiley, Sampson, Wisniewski could potentially get there. We don't know yet. But they have a lot of guys that, as far as that depth goes, like more like they're in that middle tier, like the middle tier of pitchers, like number three guys maybe, like could be solid in that role. So the fact is that if they're getting rid of that depth, like it's not like they have these top tier guys that are gonna, you know, overcome that depth because they're so good.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that the pitching seems good is because they have all that depth. And if a guy like, you know, Justin Steele or Marcus Stroman go down, you know, knock on wood that they don't. But if they do go down, you're bringing up guys who may not completely replace what they're doing, but keep you afloat. Versus the opposite, where you don't have that depth.
Right.
When you see this past season, these guys go down, and you have no one to replace them. Like, that's the whole point of having that depth.
You're right. The strength of the Cubs pitching staff is the depth, not the elite arms that they have at the top right now. They don't have three number ones or two number ones. What they have is a bunch of twos, you hope, right now. Like, that maybe somebody develops into a one. Maybe you have a bunch of twos, and you're still going to try and get that number one at some point. Maybe Steele, who starts tonight, develops into a one. You just don't know what the situation is going to be. But right now, they're built on depth. It's funny how things have changed in 1 year from when we sat in these same chairs, though, because
you said they didn't have any depth.
They didn't have any depth. And if you would have told, if you would have said to me, well, yeah, the Mets are calling about Adrian Sampson and Javier Assad, I would have said, okay.
Yeah, if this is a year ago.
What do you want back? Anything? Yeah. Like, you know, you just would have been like, sure, easy. And the flip side, if somebody would have said, the Mets are calling about Caleb Killian, you'd have been like, can't touch him.
Yeah.
But in 1 year, while I think all three could be effective pitchers for the Cubs this season, you have different responses than you did just like 360 days ago.
Right. Yeah. In response to what you said, again, I'm saying, you know, trading with the Mets makes more sense if it's closer to the deadline. And
you know where you are.
And you know what you are, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm not, like, I don't want to ruin that depth that the Cubs have in the starting rotation right now.
Unless somebody doesn't have options and you're just going to DFA them coming
or out of camp. Unless it is something like getting Beatty in return. But, like, I don't think the Mets are going to do that, though. So it just doesn't make sense for the Cubs right now. Yeah, I mean, I don't know where Quintana was going to be slated into their rotation. Probably somewhere in that between that 3 and 5 role, obviously. But it's kind of a big loss for them early on. I mean, he was really good last year, surprisingly. So to see him now going to be out for 3 months is tough for them. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. But again, though, if the Cubs wanted to move Sampson or Sod or
I'm just curious if because of it's a long-term injury, if they aren't starting to poke around some teams and at least figure out, is somebody going to be available DFA? How do we not just punt on the first half of the season because we're losing one of our big free agent arms?
Right.
They may have enough depth in their own organization to pick up that slack, but I sort of don't believe they have the depth the Cubs do, just based on not looking at the farm system, based on how many free agents they went out and acquired.
Yeah.
And I do think what Cody said is right. It's like they shouldn't get – if they're going to trade with the Mets, for, you know, if that's a scenario that actually happens, it shouldn't be now. Should be closer to the deadline because the Cubs – well, for one, the Cubs may be in a position to sell at the deadline again. Like, you don't – like, this team is built to be better. I mean, they were like 20 games under 500, very close to the deadline last year. So how much better are they going to be? They could still be pretty much out of it by the time the end of July comes. I will also say it's going to be a very weird situation if the Cubs are like 500, a little bit better, like in that hunt.
Yes.
And still competing.
Yeah.
And the trade deadline comes. And if, you know, the Mets come calling, what do they do? Like that's going to be a weird situation because at that point in time, 2 months left in the season, you may want that depth even more than you would have wanted it right now.
Right.
You know?
Well, I do think that the Mets are in a situation where I think they don't have any leverage for any trade because it's clear that they are going all in on this year. And how many more years left are they going to be able to – or how many more elite seasons are they going to get out of Scherzer or Verlander? If they're somehow running away with the NL East and, you know – they need another pitcher or something like that, then, yeah, the Cubs could be a potential team that they're talking to. And, again, I still think it could be in a you're buying and selling type situation. But, yeah, I mean, I think that the Mets don't really have a lot of leverage because everyone understands that they are all in this year.
I also think the Mets wouldn't need to do anything early in the season because you can have a shorter rotation early on because of the off days.
Fair.
And maybe I'm just, again, I'm probably really trying to force this Cubs-Mets fit, but if you wait a month and Quintana's still out two more months and then you find out what you have in Kyle Hendricks because he comes back, now you have another depth piece maybe somebody who's really firing at AAA can either be the trade bait or whatever you want it to be.
Yeah,
so, I mean, that's – I wouldn't rush to that move just like, you know, we – question whether the Bears should have made that move. If I were the Cubs, I wouldn't rush to the Mets aid at this moment. But
no, definitely not. Not right now.
But keep the lines of communication open, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I also don't think it's something where you hang up as soon as they come calling for a starter.
No, like, that's what I'm
like
saying.
If you're Jed, you're listening to what they
have probably
to
say. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, why don't we wait and see what's going on in a month? If you feel like you need something sooner, well, your price is more expensive.
They have bats. I mean – it's clear the Cubs still need more offense to become a better baseball team, right? Because the offense is very much, oh, well, if this guy does this and this guy does that, well, you know, maybe we'll talk ourselves into 85, 90 wins, or Cody will talk himself into 85 to 90 wins. But when you look at it on paper and you're like, you know, you look at it realistically, you look at it through Ryan Herrera's eyes, you're like, maybe 78 to 80, you know. Let me drink a beer to feel better. All right. So
we haven't made our predictions yet.
I'm just being honest. Like,
Cody's been creeping towards the 90s.
It's like every day. Every other day he like adds one more win.
Every day, yeah. For every time that I mention Mike Dubs on the podcast, Cody also at the same time ups his win total for the season one more. He started at like 80, and now he's been like 82.
Greg's going to sleep in the chat. He says 96, baby. I haven't got that far. But hey, let's manifest
it. We still got plenty of time.
Gary says trade Killian
for you to get there.
Gary says trade Killian and Samson for Beatty. LOL, I know it's a dream scenario.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with dreaming, man. There's nothing wrong with dreaming. I dream of a lot of things. They never happen, but there's nothing wrong with it. Right?
I don't want in those dreams. I don't want to even know.
I've been dreaming about Ohtani in a Cubs uniform for like 2 years. All right. So maybe one day.
If you're going to talk about dream scenarios, just go get Francisco Alvarez in that sense. That's the Mets' top prospect.
He's a catcher, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to need a catcher of the future. We don't know about Miguel Amaya.
Miguel Amaya, great transition because he was behind the plate for the first time since his injury. And, you know, it was minor league camp, but good to see. He's DHing today. I just remember thinking, this guy is really snake bit, and I didn't know how long he was going to be out. Seems like a pretty quick recovery. Like, he's back at camp. He's behind the plate. And hopefully he can get some of those minor league innings that he desperately needs to recapture being the Cubs' top catching prospect and one of their top prospects, right? Like, he's clearly fallen down the list because of injuries, just like Braylon Marquez, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Amaya came back last year in DH and showed the bats still there.
There was some talk that he might play in the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah. So I think the bat is still there, but to see him behind the plate finally is good, and... Because I don't know how many innings they want him to catch in the minor leagues and all this stuff, I don't know. You know, I think there's potential that we could see him on the major league team this year, but I don't have a lot of optimism for it. And that it's not like the Cubs absolutely need him to come up with the two guys that they got, Gomes and Barnhart, obviously. So it's just good to see that that's a thing because – I remember seeing him at the Cubs convention and, you know, his vibe. You know how I am about vibes, guys.
Right, yeah.
His vibe
with us.
His vibe was, in my eyes, when I first saw him walking across the stage and everything, is like, this guy has the face of a potential fan favorite one day. Now, it doesn't mean – I'm not saying that he's going to be like what Wilson Contreras was to us or anything like that, but he just kind of had that vibe. So I'm rooting for him, and hopefully we see him soon. Sooner rather than later, and he can stay on the field. I think the biggest thing for him is just staying on the field, because he's proved that he could play before the injuries. He was a top prospect in the system,
but number one, number two at least. So, it was him and Marquez. I don't remember which one was top, but
so I mean, there's a lot of upside in him still. I know a lot of people were down just because he hasn't played.
Yeah.
But
well, I remember,
you know.
I think it was Mark Gonzalez had put a, I don't remember if it was a story or a tweet out last year that, you know, Wilson had taken Amaya out to like dinner or something
mm-hmm.
and like talked to him about being the catch, like the, you know, the next
catcher of the
catcher
future.
Of the future, like getting ready for that. And obviously Amaya's dealt with a bunch of stuff since. Like I think he had already had the Tommy John at that point.
So it's the Contreras curse is what you're calling it.
No, but saying is there's obviously a lot of faith yeah. in what Amaya brought. And he's dealt with, you know, the injury bug. It's hit him pretty hard the last couple of years. But they obviously saw something in him for a reason. They obviously had a lot of faith in him for a reason. But this is the year that he's got to – I think this is his last year with minor league options. So, like, this is the year he's got to, like, put it all together, stay healthy, do well in the minors because, you know, I think the Cubs at some point want to see Miguel Amaya in the majors this year if he can get there. Still a long road, you know, 162 games to play. If he can get there, that's great for him.
Maybe but when like, rosters expand, that might be the time you start to see him.
You know,
hope it's not an injury.
Yeah, I'm going to say that, but like that could be possible, too. We saw that a couple of years ago where the Cubs used, like, 10 catchers, yeah. right? so, like, there's obviously a scenario where they need him to be up, but he's got to prove that, like, you know, he's
– stay healthy.
Yeah, he's healthy. They can perform. Like, that's – they want. I think the Cubs want to see him up this year and showing what he could do because it's his last year with options. So they need not that they just want it. They need it to kind of happen so they can finally make a decision on him for next year and just for the catching position as a whole.
If he's healthy, they will probably force the issue on that before the season's over. A lot of people talking about this Ian Happ thing, so we're going to get to it in a second. A lot of people talking playoffs, dare I say, in the chat today.
Manifest.
Let me tell you how you get to the playoffs. You drink a lot of Goose Island. Mm. Goose Island is the official beer of CHGO, Chicago's beer since 1988. Prime of my high school career. Beer roster that they have going is really special. Blackhawks Pale Ale, limited release. Hawks and Goose Island have been partners and neighbors for 25-plus years. Goose Island Pub in the UC has been open for about 10 years now. Tap room, pregame destination. We've been there. Bulls City 312, love it. Green Line, Matilda. Cody likes the Hugs one.
The beer hugs, the
beer hugs.
Tropical yeah. one.
He doesn't get hugs from me, but he gets it from Goose Island.
I do. 9.9%. I'm not kidding. It's the best.
Goose Island's two locations are open and ready to welcome you. Grab a beer right from their innovation tanks at the Goose Island Tap Room. That's 1800 West Fulton. Or get it right over with a smash burger and a fresh beer of the week at the original Clybourne Brew House, 1800 North Clybourne. For reservations, pick it up, gooseisland.com/locations. Goose Island Beer Company. The one on Clybourne is over there by, you know, the Best Buy. It's like the intersection of all those stores that come in there. It's just around the corner. Okay. Good place.
First beer I had on Saturday was Goose Island.
Nice. 312 yeah. or?
It was one of the beer hugs.
Beer hugs?
A beer yeah. hug.
Okay, yeah. that's fine.
One he the started the day with a Goose Island beer hug. He ended the night with a Corey Friedman beer hug.
I did.
There was.
I did.
Double hugs.
Corey Friedman had some. Hugs. Corey Friedman had Jameson and ginger ale, I think it was combined. Ugh. Canada Dry? Yeah. Whatever. I don't know.
He should have stuck with the Goose Island.
Yeah, that's what he was drinking.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah. I told him, I was like, Goose Island, man. Come on now. But yeah, it was, you know, St. Patrick's Day.
How are you getting your tickets, Cody?
How am I getting
that
my
first,
tickets?
That first weekend series. You know, we're going to be working for opening day, but I figure that second, third game of the season, one Cody Del Mendo is probably going to want to be vibing in the bleachers. Yeah.
Listen, everyone knows the vibe. Left field. You can go sit in left field bleachers with a lot of Cubs Twitter likes to hang out in left field. Go hang out with a lot of those people in left field. All you got to do is go on to Game Time, guys. Game Time is the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. Ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you thought you could, you thought you never could? 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats at a concert. It's possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you thought you could never buy. You won't find a better deal this season on Cubs tickets. What other? We got Bulls, Blackhawks games still the rest of the year.
Fire just started back up.
Yeah, you can go out to Des Moines.
Concert tickets. You got to get those concert tickets.
G&R, Morgan Wallen's Wrigley? Playing at Wrigley this summer. Mm. I'm like going to manifest my way into the federal landmark somehow. So
Blink 182 at the
that.
UC in May. I've said it multiple times.
Really? Yeah.
Illinois plays in Des Moines, Iowa on Thursday, and I'm going to get my heart broken again. Go use Game Time. Go watch. You can watch them as well. Created by the fans for the fans. Guarantees the lowest price. If you love CHGO, then you'll love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats for all your favorite events.
Very nice. Yeah. Roman's asking, or Fernando's asking, when the next Roman ad is going to be. And I said, we're firming up the details on that ad read, and we will have that for you probably later in the week.
Fernando's becoming like my Fernando is entering like Wants top three favorite commenter, Roman ad
read. And not just because of all the super chats.
Not just because of the super chats.
They
but
help.
We call him Fernando.
He understands
Roman
the
Rodriguez.
Vibe. Fernando gets the vibe of the show.
Fernando Roman Rodriguez. Yeah. All right, so let's get to the Ian Happ thing. It was Tim Britton of The Athletic showed like 10 guys that are going into either are in extension talks or entering free agency. And the idea of the article was, it's very important, obviously, what you do right before the extension or contract happens. So, like, what have you done for me lately, right? Mm-hmm. And he showed Gallo was like got like one year, $10 million because he had nothing. Then you saw Nick Castellanos, former Cub, have a great 2021, and he parlays that into 5 years, $100 million for the Phillies. So it leaves you with, where is Ian Happ? I don't know if we're down to 16 days. The Cubs claim there's no hard deadline. I don't know if they're even continuing those conversations. We don't know if it's a conversation with Horner but not Happ or vice versa at this point. Strictly talking Happ here. Outfield position. All right, so he points out that the F war for Castellanos and Happ is very comparable. And, like, if there's two players that line up, that's a guy that he lines up with. Now, they both were a 3.5 F war. Castellanos gets there with the home run power and the big bat. Happ is a more well-rounded player but doesn't give you the offensive firepower that Castellanos does with the Phillies. So he says, let's be honest, home runs, chicks dig the long ball, still in baseball. So that's why Castellanos got 5 years, $100 million, right? Yep. Then I threw in Benintendi for the White Sox, 5 years, $75 million. Just happened this offseason. So where are the Cubs and Ian Happ? What kind of numbers were they talking about? And he said, so if he hits free agency and he has another similar year to what he did last year, gold glove, switch hitter, team guy, are you talking extending that so the AAV is that the average income is closer to $18 million because Castellanos is getting $20 million a year. Mm-hmm. Is 6 years $100 million? I personally would say that if that number were on the table, 6 for $100, Ian Happ would have taken that deal already. And I don't have any inside information on that. I just feel like if Ian Happ were offered from the Cubs a six more years of employment for $100 million, I think he would have taken it already.
Does it specify if this upcoming season is included in that 6 years?
I don't know if he was talking about like this would be the extension that he would be asking for, or could be facing, or if he's saying after the season it'd be another 6 plus $100. Either way,
because it was what $10.85 million he got for arbitration this year is what they settled somewhere.
Right,
like that.
He's almost $11 million this year.
So if it includes, if this year would be included in that 6 years, and that would be 5 for like $89 to $90 million, which I
don't think the Cubs want to go 5 years.
I don't know.
Right, like it might be as much about the years potentially. As it could be about the large number at the end.
My thing is, and this is also a thing is with Happ, is he's 28, if I'm not mistaken. You know, he just came off the best year of his career on both sides of the ball. If he repeats that again this year, one, that's a player to build around, right? He's still in his prime, at least a couple more years of like high level production before that, like, historical, like, the numbers start to drop. It just happens for everyone. It's not that, not saying that his numbers are going to fall dramatically, but they likely will, just like they do for everyone. But I will also say, if it's 5 more years and 90 more million after this season, that's not an untradeable contract either. If you're saying this contract runs through his age 33 season, that's definitely not an untradeable contract. So if it were to get to that point where they wanted to look to move him after they had already signed him to that extension, it's not like, I don't think that contract prohibits them from doing it, as long as he's still playing at the level that he, you know, he'd be playing at when he signed it.
That's one of the reasons I would like to see them get this deal done with Happ. I see everybody in the chat has the elephant in the room saying they have too many outfield prospects to go ahead and pay Happ. But again, in a perfect world, you can sign Ian Happ and let the prospects force him off your team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he becomes a chip for which you can get more prospects back and continue to feed the system.
I agree.
You don't have to have one or the other. It doesn't, everything we talk about doesn't have to be green light, red light. There can be gray, there can be yellow. You can have both. Just because you sign Ian Happ to a 5-year deal doesn't mean you have to play Ian Happ for 5 years at Wrigley Field. And if you can get a prospect to force him out, great. The alternative can be true too. You don't know what you have necessarily in the prospects. You hope that Brennan Davis and these guys, you hope that Canario can bounce back from the injury. PCA, you hope that Owen Casey Alcantara. And PC and all these guys, Alcantara. I understand it, all outfielders. But remember, everybody on a roster right now, whether you're in the minor league system, wherever you are in the franchise, it's the cold, hard truth. You're a chip. You're a chip on the board, or you're a card in their hand. Mm-hmm. And yes, certain ones have more value, but just because you have great prospects and they will be cheaper for a while doesn't mean that if Ian Happ were to do it for 4 years, you wouldn't say, you know what, I can hold on to Happ. It could be the other play. And now you can move one of those prize prospects to go out and get the frontline starter that you needed.
Yeah.
It's not every guy that we talk about, and when we talk to, you know, the prospect guys, Zumac, whoever, Brian Smith, whoever it might be, not all of them are going to end up on the Cubs.
Yeah.
In 15, did a lot of them make it?
Yeah.
It did. 15 and 16, it worked out that way. But there were still guys that didn't. Gleyber Torres still was used as a chip to go get you Chapman. Right? Like, that's just that's the truth.
Yeah.
Eloy Jimenez was used to try and go get you. Didn't turn out to be the right guy, but they were still used as chips. So which guys have they identified as possible chips? Just because you have those chips doesn't mean that Ian Happ doesn't fit into your future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, the way that I look at Ian Happ's situation is just completely different from any former Cub now that has moved on. I think it's completely different from Wilson Contreras last year. I think it's completely different from Javi, Anthony, and Chris Bryant, because the last 2 years, the Cubs have purposely, last year and a half, because I won't count the first half of 2021, the Cubs purposely sold those guys because they decided to choose a direction, and they're like, we gotta rebuild this thing.
Mm-hmm. To restart it, pretty much.
Restart. Yeah. With the activity that the Cubs had this offseason, that doesn't say that they're trying to do that anymore. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care if we're sitting here and Vegas says the line is 77.5 games, all right? They're going to be better than the last year and a half. I think we can all sit here and confidently say that. So Ian Happ's situation is, okay, is different because the Cubs are trying to win games now. And I agree, Luke. Like, I think that keeping Ian Happ makes sense, and because a prospect could force him out, but also like you said, you can't bank on any of those guys to completely, you know, automatically be great. I mean, Ian Happ was a first round pick, and for years we thought this guy was not it. We talked
2 years ago; he was a potential
non-tender.
We said maybe non-tender, right. But to his credit, he went, did the work. He even went down to the minors, came back, turned himself into a Gold Glove left fielder.
Right.
He's improved at the plate. And here's another reason I think even if you're slightly overpaying him, maybe if you look at it and say, well, he's worth more than Benintendi, he's not worth Castellanos because the bat's not as good. And I'm not ready to go there because if I had my choice between Castellanos and Ian Happ, I'm still not sure I'm not sticking with Ian Happ. Schwarber is another story. That ship has sailed.
Yeah.
Like, they made a mistake with letting Schwarber go away for nothing.
Yeah.
But Ian Happ is also one of the right type of players that you're looking for. Not just well-rounded. He's a clubhouse guy. He's a guy that players can go to with Dansby Swanson and Nico Hoerner. Goes about his business the right way. Does everything you want in a player off the field as well as on the field. In the off-season, during the season. He's all of those things. So, again, there's value in that. And I just don't think because there's prospects in the farm system, you necessarily have to write him off.
Yeah. So you want to talk about the potential contract, whatever. You know, I wouldn't go to 6 years because, yeah. I wouldn't either,
and I wouldn't do a no-trade clause either.
Yeah, I wouldn't go 6 years. I'd go 4 or 5 and, you know, no-trade clause, and then, you know, just kind of see what happens. I think that with the DH, it helps as well. And again, they have all these guys on 1 year deals, 1 or 2 year deals. Like Hosmer, is Hosmer even going to be on this team in July? You know what I mean? Like, he's going to have to prove it. Like, Mancini is a 2 year deal. Like, there's no reason that Ian Happ couldn't potentially just be your DH. That way, they can get at bats for these prospects once they're ready. Again, we're looking like. PCA Alcantara, they're 2024 at the earliest. At the earliest. Canario,
yeah.
It like if Canario was healthy and was blowing our mind in the spring, I might think differently. I might actually think differently, but like he's hurt.
Yeah, he may have been a trade chip over the winter if he was healthy.
Too.
If that injury didn't happen, he may not even be in the system anymore.
Yeah.
But that's when we keep talking about this outfield potential logjam that's coming. That's part of it.
What's fair? 4 for 80?
Well, and that, I'm still trying. I think I'm looking at the thing, and I'm looking at, and it seems like they're talking about getting an extension done now, and including this year and that 6 years.
So then you'd be willing to do 5.
So if you did five, like on top, like you know, you get your 1 for 10.85 this year. You get another 5, so that'd be about 90 or 89 million, whatever that is.
Right.
If I'm the Cubs, I'd probably do that.
5 for 90.
I'd probably do that again, but it goes back to my point earlier that it's not like the biggest free agent contract out there. Like it's for a guy that you hope, just to say 3 years from now, if he's still performing at all-star Gold Glove type level, but it gets to the point where you may need to trade him, again, that's not an untradeable contract.
No.
That's not an untradeable contract. The AAV's not that high. I think that's, about $18 million, something like that. So it's not terrible. You know, the luxury tax threshold or a competitive balance tax threshold is going to continue to rise over the next few years, so that number will shrink in comparison to what they can pay overall.
It's not the Hayward deal, and it's also...
certainly not.
It's also financially a different time than when Hayward signed it. So not only was Hayward's deal bigger... but Hayward's deal was bigger when players were making less.
Yes, exactly.
So you have to put it in the right time frame for where it's at too. So it should not be something that completely hamstrings the organization in any way, shape, or form.
And that's what I'm saying. Like if it gets to the point where those guys like Brennan Davis, Pete Crow, like they're pushing Ian Happ off the out of the organization just because they're playing so well, the Cubs aren't going to be stuck. Not being able to trade Happ. As long as he's playing, you know, pretty well still, they will not be stuck without the ability to trade Happ because that contract isn't bad, in my opinion.
And because if those guys push him out, heck, if they push, say, a Suzuki out, I mean, that's the truth, really. They gave the biggest contract in the outfield. It could be Saya eventually, and at least long-term-wise, they both could be pushed out by the prospects eventually. That's really what you probably want to see, other than Happ and Saya becoming superstars. Yeah. which at their age probably aren't going to be superstars, but they, you know, all stars. We've seen that.
Yeah.
So if they push them out, the guys you would be paying in the outfield would be making next to nothing relative to the rest of the world, baseball world, not us. Like, they'll still be making a ton of money. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you had an outfield of Brendan Davis, PCA, and Canario, or whoever it might be, they're still going to be on small deals because they haven't reached that free agency yet. So you're going to be paying them way less. So even if you have to eat a little bit of an Ian Happ deal at the end to move him out and make that deal more attractive, it's easy to do because your outfield's so inexpensive.
You're still paying those guys arbitration-level money at that point. Because even if they all came up this year, I think it's, what, 6 years? Something like that before the end of arbitration, would it be? Something like that? So even if they were all to be on the opening day roster, you would have the 3 years of service time, if I'm not mistaken, plus the 3 arbitration years. So that even that, like, that's the end of Ian Happ's contract, right?
Right.
Like that's when you would have to pay those guys. So
the risk reward doesn't seem to be too dangerous.
If it's five for ninety beyond this year, I don't think that's a bad contract to give him. But I
think everybody kind of looks at six and says, now it's a player getting up there.
Yeah.
I know it brings down the AAV and that lets you fudge some other things, but interesting. I would love to be a fly in the wall in those discussions just to see how close they are. Where are they? Like, what is Ian Happ really looking for? And how much are the Cubs trying to be fair, or are they trying to lowball it? Yeah. And please stop telling me it's Ricketts doing the negotiating. he's giving Jed a number and says, stick at this number. And so you got to figure out the players. I don't believe that Tom Ricketts is saying, Ian Happ is worth this, Jed. That's all you can pay him. I just don't think he's getting involved in baseball talk like that.
No, it comes back to where Jed and, you know, Carter and then whoever else are in these discussions, they come to the number that they may agree on, and that's, I believe, when they take, you know, I don't think Ricketts is involved in, like, straight up negotiations
like that
for the most part. He may be sitting, you know, maybe in some meeting or something like that, you know, pitches, whatever, but I think his biggest thing is just signing off on it. So it's gonna come down to what Jed and Carter think Ian Happ's worth versus what Ian Happ and his camp think he's worth. And that's another reason why I, like, hate trying to predict extensions or contracts or whatever. Because
Happ might not think our 5 for 90 is fair.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're not,
I don't know.
Unless you're in those, you know, in the know, or you're in the meetings themselves, like, you really don't know how either side feels about that number. Like, that, to us, that 5 for 90 doesn't seem that bad. To him, it may seem, he may feel like it's an underpay, or the Cubs may think it's too much. Well, right?
Or he might be saying, if they gave me 5 for 90, I'd take it in yesterday.
Yeah,
we don't know exactly.
I feel like we're probably going to get a good idea of where it's at once spring training is over. Because remember, when they didn't get it done with Rizzo at the end of spring training, it became a big story. And like Jed said, you know, I never want that to happen again. So, the clock is ticking, man.
It is.
And I don't know, man. I just do not – that's, like, the one thing I fear about the season is if we go into opening day and it's like, well, the Cubs didn't get an extension done again. Just, like, bury me 6 feet under, bro.
No, vibes are high. Vibes are still going to be high no matter what, Cody. We're not going to let you sink.
Yeah.
We're not going to let you sink into the mud, the muck and mire.
That is the last thing,
though. You're still going to wake up on opening day and say 97 wins.
I'm ready to be hurt again, 97 wins.
Fair.
Hey, guys.
That's fair.
The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program, committed to helping families and business in the communities we serve manage energy usage and lower bills. Now and into the future, ComEd offers a wide array of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, public sector customers of all sizes across our territory. Customers can inquire about how to upgrade outdated lighting to energy and money-saving efficient LEDs. I did it this weekend. Learn more about network lighting to operate your lights through your mobile device, track your facility usage, and more. Incentives have recently increased for indoor, outdoor lighting and network lighting controls, making these projects even more cost-effective than ever before. Visit ComEd.com/poweringbiz right now to start saving money and energy. To start a project, contact them at 1-855-433-2700. For more information, email businessee@comed.com or publicsectoree@comed.com.
And if you're, like, they put the new lights in at Wrigley. So when you go to a game this year, you're going to see them. And you may be able to do something. You might see them and be like, you know what? I want lights like those.
Right.
ComEd.
ComEd, baby.
You're never going to see the game so sharp at Wrigley Field. Yeah. Those new lights, you're going to be like, look at those unis.
You'll be at beautiful, historic Wrigley Field, and you'll think, man, this is just great, great, great lights.
Like, I need to get ComEd on the phone right now.
That lighting is top notch.
Top notch.
Good. So today is March 14th, also known as 314 Pi Day.
Mm.
Pi Day. I don't math, but that's what they tell me. The kids tell me that's some sort of math number, Pi Day. It is also Felix PA Day.
What was your
How many other teams can say they have a pie on their team? Well, we know that the Orioles do. At some point they did. Felix PA, 0708, once the form. Speaking of prospects in the outfield, can't miss prospects in the outfield. There's one right there that never developed into absolutely anything. Felix PA, 246 career batting average, 17 career home runs, and drove in 99, one short of 100 for his entire career. Got me thinking, today's Pi Day or PA Day, however you want to look at it, who would you like to pie here at CHGO? If somebody walked in the building and you could stand right in the doorway with a whipped cream pie, a pan full of whipped cream or shaving cream, who would you like to stuff it in the face of when they walked in the door?
Steven, because he benches more than me.
Oh, that's a good one. And you still have a chance because Steven could come through that door today. We could go get some shaving cream. Of course, with all the testosterone between the two of you guys with a pie, that could escalate and then we'd have problems around here. So I don't know if that's wise. Who would I like to pie if they came through the door? I mean, Carm's sitting over there. He's an obvious choice. He knows it. Braggs is another one.
Like
I know
Cody,
Braggs
Cody would
came
say Braggs on like the first day of March Madness. He'd be Braggs.
Braggs, if he's wearing a Purdue shirt, you would like to pie him.
Yes, especially if he's wearing a Purdue shirt. He is as high as anyone in this office right now.
Braggs is up at the top of the list.
Someone's got to bring him down just a little bit by pieing him in the face. I mean, come on now.
Sean on bets because his bets haven't been going well. You get a pie.
No, because that's only going to make him do worse.
I got to be honest. I'm lucky. I thought you guys were going to say me for sure. But that's good to know.
If I would have said
good
someone
to know
on
that
this
I'm
show,
not high on the pie list.
If I would have said someone on this show, I would have said Ryan. Because he takes every chance to put me down.
And, that's fair.
And that's fair. And I think that's unfair. Because, you know, in the Discord.
Cody Del
this,
Skippo.
In the Discord this weekend.
Cody Del Cardinal. I think I did say that.
You said Cody Del Cardinal.
Yeah.
And then someone changed their Twitter account to Cody Del Cardinal.
It was Joel, wasn't
who
it?
Who would
it?
You pie? Who would you pie? I've got one. I would pie Brendan. Mm. He has not shown his face there in the studio yet.
We can all agree with that.
Yeah.
Brendan deserves a pie in the face.
Dustin says Corey would give Brendan two pies.
Two pies. Yeah. And I know that if I brought up Eric Sogard, they'd probably pie me. But that's another story.
Or Jonathan VR.
We are exactly 2:20, which usually we leave here now. But I do want to ask quickly, because it's important to everybody in the chat, what is your favorite pie on Pi Day?
Apple.
Just straight apple straight pie. Apple Do you need pie. That a la mode? Do you need that with a little vanilla ice cream?
I mean, if it's on there.
What about
I
like
don't
a,
need it, need
you
it.
You go to a restaurant, and for some reason, they trick you into the homemade ice cream. Is it really any different than having Oberweis scoop you out a little bit?
No.
Not really.
Probably not, but I fall for it every time. Oh, homemade cinnamon ice cream.
I don't eat a lot of pie. The only time I really eat pie is at Thanksgiving because we always have pumpkin pie.
Really?
Yeah. And then I top it with like almost the entire thing of Cool Whip. Yeah. Like you can't even like see the pie. It's
not
just a pile of Cool Whip.
Yeah, I'm not a pumpkin guy.
Not a pumpkin, not a pecan.
No,
it's,
no,
that's
no.
Go,
no.
Go
nuts
apple.
On any sort of dessert are crazy. Here, I'm going to give you guys a tip. For everybody that's out there, if you're looking for great pies in Chicago, Bang Bang Pies, great. We talked about that off the air. Also, Hoosier Mama Pies. They have them in Evanston, and they have one right on Chicago Avenue in my old neighborhood. If you go west of Ashland down Chicago, there's like a Roots Pizza over there. Hoosier Mama Pies, great pies. The French silk is outstanding, super rich. They do a like a blueberry crumble type pie. Excellent. My favorite pies, Al Johnson's in Door County, Wisconsin. They do banana cream pie, And every year when I go there, they give me a free one because I've had so many banana cream pies there. Like, that is, I don't like bananas, okay? Somehow I tried the banana cream pie one summer when I was there, and it blew my mind. And now I can eat bananas because I've eaten the banana cream pie. Bananas remind me enough of that pie that I will eat bananas now. That's how great their pie is. But they also do, if you're lucky enough to be up in Door County in July, for that month, that's their raspberry season. They do a fresh raspberry pie that is
vibes.
Yeah. No free ads, though.
Life changing.
No free ads.
Anyone a strawberry rhubarb?
No.
I've never had that. No,
my wife swears by the rhubarb, but I'm not. I've seen
Sarah it. Sarah brings in some like random any, crab that no that
But it's
no
my
one's
favorite.
Ever
like, I don't know what else to say, but it's so, so good.
I know it's like, sweet, but I've seen it, and it looks
sour,
like celery.
Tart. No, it's like the tartness and sweetness.
It looks like celery to me, and I can't.
It's good. With like a little sugar, the hard sugar on top of the crust. Ugh. Anyways.
What about, what's the pie place that people go?
Jewel? I don't know.
No.
Mariano's?
The restaurant that's just pies, basically, and then they have other food now.
No idea.
Come on, you do. It's a pie place. People used to always go, and it looks like basically an IHOP, but it's a pie place. Come on, Carm. Baker Square.
Baker Square was only a pie place before?
Well, no, it's known for their pies, and then people
Baker
go to
Square,
get...
Baker Square, isn't that where Jordan and BJ Armstrong hung out at one time?
Maybe.
Poppin' fresh pies are old deal. What's your pie, Kevin?
It was in The Last Dance.
You may have old shoes on, but what's your favorite pie? Banana cream. See? Got to go to Al Johnson's Door County, and you'll be like, I'm never having another banana cream pie in my life. Key lime's another one that I
do like.
I told
key
you
lime.
Around my birthday, I was craving a good key lime
pie. Everyone's saying Baker Square.
Carm confirmed it is the place that Jordan and BJ Armstrong hung out at one time that was stayed in The Last Dance.
Nice.
At a Baker Square.
At a Baker Square.
I wonder what they had, because I'm a grasshopper pie guy, too. Mm. Little mint mousse pie with little chocolate chips on top or flex. Anyways, I think...
Are we getting a little too dessert talk?
We've gone
this was the CHGO ice cream podcast last summer. Now we're the CHGO pie podcast.
Listen, this was the dessert to the podcast. I saved it for the end. We're 4 minutes past. These are four bonus minutes about pie. That people, like, when they subscribe, this is the stuff you get.
Yeah.
You get four bonus minutes about pie. They probably didn't know about Bang Bang Pies and Who's Your Mama Pies, but they're going to run out tonight.
No free ads.
No free ads.
Who's Your Mama?
Also,
you want to be a sponsor?
Leave reviews saying that I love the pie talk. I would love to read those.
So, what you love most about the pie talk?
What was your favorite part of the pie talk? That's what the review should
say. Doug Van Dorn, dessert talk is always in order. And Colada, see, I knew Colada would know. Baker Square, best French silk pie.
You and Colada, you guys are like,
you know, I should have done a pie bracket today. Bracketology for pies, but I missed it.
Next year.
Anyways, Corey's going to be here tomorrow. We'll see you live at 1:20. Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings. Make sure you download the app. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. We'll talk about Justin Steele's start tomorrow. Corey will be here. We might continue the pie talk. We'll see. Die hard pie fan.
Oh, Michael and Darwin Barney, 15.
Darwin Barney, 15 Someone days said tomorrow. In the chat. Get your jerseys out. We'll see you live at 1:20. Until then, fly the W.